Recording has started.
Hi. Thank you, Nicole. Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all. Welcome to the new GTOD Subsequent Procedures Working Group call on the 15th of May, 2017 at 1500 UTC. In the interest of time today, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken via the Adobe Connect room. So if you are only on the audio bridge, would you please let yourselves be known now?
Yes, I'm on audio only. This is Gigi Levine.
Thank you, Gigi. We'll note that. Hearing no further names, I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes, and please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I will turn the call back over to Ari Doria.
Thank you very much, and hello to all. Welcome to our meeting. Hope everybody had a good and productive week off from all new GTOD subsequent procedures group meetings, and welcome back to the meetings again. First, I want to mention the let's go through the agenda. So the first thing will be the welcome and the SOI checks. Then there's the work track updates. Then we'll have a GDD summit recap. I know a fair amount of you were there, so we'll not only ask for a recap, but we'll also ask for the views of others who attended. Then talking about the drafting team update, and we're going to be looking at the different TLD types and the initial doc that was put there. And then we go to community comment 2 update on where we're at on it. Then ICANN 59 planning, and then any other business. First, does anybody have an item of any other business they'd like to see added to the agenda? I don't hear or see anything. So any changes or objections to the agenda? Any comments? Okay, fine. Seeing nothing, I'll go with that agenda. Okay, just wanted to check on statements of interest. Want to make sure that everyone has one, that they're keeping it updated, and want to ask if there's now anyone that would like to speak to a change in their statement of interest that's especially relevant to this working group effort. I see none. I hear none. I still see people are coming in. Greetings to people. So the next thing on the agenda is the work track updates. Who do we have from work track 1 that's willing to give that agenda? I mean, give that update? Krista, yes, I saw all your speaking.
Sorry, just a quick update for Work Track 1. Tomorrow we have a meeting at the same time, different place. We'll be continuing the discussion on the Registrar Service Provider Accreditation Program. And later today I'll share a link to the document that we were discussing last week that has developed a little bit more. And if we have some time, we'll revert to a secondary subject, but that'll be the primary. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any comments or questions? Okay, seeing none, work on to work track two. Who would like to speak to that? Yes, Michael, please. Michael? I don't know if you're muted, but I don't hear you. Am I the only one not hearing? Michael, you can't be heard. I don't know if it's your microphone or... Okay. Phil, are you able to give it, or should we continue and come back around to Michael. Okay, thank you, Phil. I'll continue. Work Track 3, who can give that update, please? Karen, please go ahead.
Hi, Aubrey. Hi, everyone. This is Karen Day for the record. Work Track 3 will be having our next meeting next week on Tuesday, the 23rd. At the 1500 time slot. We have been focusing the last couple of meetings on applicant freedom of expression and as well as the geo names and the community issues. We're going to be sending out some email to the list this week to hopefully get some feedback on where we want to focus at our next meeting, if we want to stick to our agenda and move on to our next topic, or if we want to continue to dive in on these current issues. I've seen some comments this morning on the main group list with regard to communities that I think we're going to get into when we start talking about the different drafting team updates. So that may be that people feel like it's a good time to go back to that topic after we talk about it today. So anyway, look for some email coming in the next day or so, and we will get back to work on the 23rd. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Karen. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Okay. I don't see any, so I'll move on. Work Track 4.
Avery, Cheryl here.
Okay, thank you. Please, Cheryl, go ahead.
Thanks, Avery. Cheryl Langdonor here for the record, and Rubens has tendered his apologies for today's meeting, so just me, I'm afraid. Our Work Track 4 meets on Thursday, the 25th of May, at the 1500 UTC time slot for 60 minutes, and we will be continuing our conversation regarding name collisions, but it's rather rewarding, I think, to know that we will be having Patrick Paulstrom as Chair of ESAC attending this next call, and we will be looking specifically at the various ESAC advices regarding name collisions and a few other matters at this call. So it's, if you've got an interest in this particular topic, it's a very worthwhile call to come along and join us, even if you're not a listed member of Work Track 4. And to that end, those of you who are on Work Track 4 list, there's been an excellent little primer of preparatory reading links sent to you. And if anyone who isn't on that list would like to benefit from those, I'm pretty sure they're listed on our wiki space, but I'm sure staff would also forward that reading list to you so you can bring yourselves better up to speed on this very important topic. That's it from me, Abby. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. Any comments or questions? I see typing. No, there was no typing. Okay. In which case, I'll go back to work Track 2. Michael, are you able to speak at this point? Yes, I hear you.
You can. Okay, perfect. Thank you very much, and apologies about that little technical difficulties. For this week, we have a meeting at 21 UTC on Thursday. Which day of the week is that? There's 15th, so I'm going to assume that's the 18th or the 19th, if I have my math correct. But we will be speaking about the registrar non-discrimination, as well as the registrar standardization, I believe. Big interest on this is the vertical integration. We'll be opening up and providing a bit of history on the subject, and then we're going to kind of see if we want to go into this more in depth. The leadership is going to be doing some time to plan for the upcoming meeting, but we're looking to have Phil leading this call, so it's going to be an interesting one, I think. So, well, I look forward to having everyone on the call. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Michael. Any questions or comments? Okay. There was a question from Susan Payne asking whether non-members of the work track can join the calls. And I believe that, and please correct me, anybody on the leadership team, if this is not correct, but I believe anybody in the main group that has an SOI in place can indeed join, and others can also sometimes join, but we need to make some sort of special arrangements for, you know, guests and others that have a specific expertise to join. But I do believe that if you have an SOI in place, you can join the call. I don't know if there's any comments on that. Yes, Jeff.
Yeah, thanks. This is Jeff Newman. Just to add to that, on certain calls, we do invite people to attend as well. So, for example, on the last call we had for WorkTrack 2, where we talked about brand generics, we invited certain people that we knew had expressed opinions in previous comment periods. So, for example, we had Milton Mueller and I think we had Kathy Kleiman attend, but then she formally joined the group. So there could be others depending on topics as well. Thanks.
Okay, yes, thank you, Jeff. That was indeed what I was trying to say, and thank you for making it so much clearer. But as I say, anybody that's has an SOI in the main group, that's part of the reason we talk about them, even if you're not interested in actually working full-time, as it were, on one of the work tracks, and sometimes it almost does seem like full-time work for some people. You're welcome to join the call without making a full commitment to the work track. Okay. Seeing no more on the work track updates, last week the GDD summit was held. Jeff and various other members and participants of this working group were there. I'd like to ask Jeff to start off a recap, and then after that I'd like to open the floor and get other people to mention other things that they thought were important about that meeting that people in this group should know about. So, Jeff, please, you're first. Jeff? Okay, now I need to make sure that I'm being heard.
Well, okay. Thanks. All right, so, yeah, sorry about that. So the first thing I want to do is caveat the discussion with a lot of the people that attend. Well, GDD Summit is intended for contracted parties, so registries, registrars, their consultants. And so a lot of the people that participate in the GDD Summit are obviously not members of this group. Some of them, don't pay attention to the policy processes that go on, and so they come with their own individual agenda. So I only caveat that with the fact that, or because there were things that came out of the meeting that in theory could not necessarily be counter to what our work we're doing, but at times were a little frustrating because they were not aware of the work that we're doing. So with that said, there was some discussion on the first day. There are a number of contracted parties that would like to see a subsequent procedure sooner rather than later. So there was some discussion on the first day that some registries wanted ICANN staff to set a date by which the next called round or window opening could be. So there was definitely a number of people asking for ICANN to just set the date. A number of people believe that if ICANN sets a date, that would give more incentive to groups like ours and the other reviews and things going on to finish up our work on time, and you know, as, so long as we keep our eye on those dates. Obviously, there are a number of issues that we need to resolve, and so you know, making that date, if they do set a date, which I'm not convinced that they will, you know, if they did, if ICANN staff did set a date or the board, you know, there'd be a lot of work to do by then, and I'm not sure how realistic setting such a date would actually be. That said, there was also a comment made by Akram, who said that, well, I should say there was also some discussion of whether Akram and ICANN staff could, in parallel, begin implementation discussions and, you know, writing the next version of the guidebook, or developing its systems, preparing its systems in parallel with the policy work going on. Akram, I believe, rightly said, well, there are a number of items that I think are gating items in which, you know, we can't even begin to start rewriting any procedural aspects or implementation aspects until we have certain items decided. For example, is it going to be a first come, first serve? Will it be in quote rounds, or will it be some other mechanism? And then he also discussed a few other items that maybe what I call gating items before they could even begin to think about parallel processing or parallel, you know, trying to draw up some implementation. It's understood, and I think agreed upon by a lot of the community, that you know, we don't want it to wait until the policy process is completely over before ICANN staff starts its implementation discussions. Otherwise, we could be looking at a number of years after we finish our process. That said, when the implementation work can start is obviously a matter of debate amongst members of the community, and I'm sure even amongst members of this group. So getting agreement on a precise definition of when that should begin would be difficult. That said, I did ask Akram, you know, since he was saying there are a number of gating items, I did ask Akram if he could produce a list of what those gating items would be or could be, and so that we as a group could consider them and, in theory, prioritize them if that's something this group wanted to do. Without knowing what gating items are, at least in Akram's mind, you know, we have no way of prioritizing what he would deem or ICANN staff would deem to be essential in order to start parallel processing. Again, there's no policy that's decided on in the GDD or in any of these types of summits. It's really just a discussion between contracted parties and ICANN staff. It's not meant at all to replace the policy process. And so, you know, we'll look to see if Akram produces this, this list. Also, we can then decide once this list is produced whether we want that to help set a priority for those issues. And, you know, if anyone wants to listen to these sessions, they were all recorded, I believe. And so we can, I guess, Emily did send some notes around to everyone. I know it was initially only intended to be for the leadership team, but she accidentally sent it to everyone, which is good because now everyone's got the notes anyway, and we weren't going to change any of those notes. So it's actually good that she sent it out to everyone. The other thing, you know, there were some other subjects that were touched upon that we that relate to the work in our group, things like application fees and whether there should be a, although this applied really to the last round, in terms of whether there should be a refund of those excess application fees. In theory, you know, those discussions relate to future rounds or future application windows as well. There was some discussion on transitioning back-end registries or assigning registries from one entity to another, although those issues related to existing registries and did not per se relate to the issue we're discussing in Work Track 1 about RSP, the RSP program. You know, there are some parallels that can be drawn between them. So those were just some of the issues that were discussed at the GDD. Again, it was not to set policy, not to supplant the work that we do, but it was just an expression of a number of contracted parties that, you know, want to see a process move forward. I'd be happy to take any questions. I know that there's some questions in the chat, so I'll go back. There's a question that says, you know, could Martin says, could GNSO set a target date? Yeah, I guess the GNSO Council could set a target date if they wanted to. I'm not sure they would without our input, but sure, the GNSO Council, as managers of the policy process, in theory, could set a date. And let's see. Just going through here, Trang says that there will be, they're working on that list of issues so that they can get that around. Corey says, thanks for the recap. Sounds very much like important policy discussions, but without some important stakeholders being there. Yeah, Jorge, obviously there are items that touched on policy, but no decisions being made. I think, you know, this was just a forum for contracted parties to express their views, much like there's a non-contracted parties summit or whatever that's called, where they can express their views, much like the GAC expresses its views separate from everybody else. I think it was just a forum for contracted parties to express their views on these subjects, but there's no decisions that are made, as Donna says, and everything that's policy related is brought back to this group. So I hope that clarifies things. You know, you can't stop people from expressing their opinions whenever and wherever they want to, and we're an open community and a multi-stakeholder community where we should be encouraging these opinions. And I did stand up to the mic several times, and if you listen to the recording, you will hear that, about trying to get everyone who is concerned about certain issues to participate in this group if they want their thoughts heard and discussed. So that's my initial feedback, and if anyone's got questions, I'm happy to answer.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff. Trang, I see your hand is up, so please go ahead.
Thanks, Aubrey, and thanks, Jeff. This is Trang for the record. Jeff, thanks. You're correct. Akram did speak about a few items that we believe would fundamentally change, but based on the outcome of the discussion, would either fundamentally change the implementation of the next round or not. And so those are the list of items that we're working on pulling together for the group. And I just wanted to make sure that the group understands that from an ICANN's perspective, we don't view those items as gating factors to starting implementation or to open the next round. They're really items that, you know, it would be really helpful for us from an implementation planning perspective if we have some clarity as to what the policy direction may be. But I wouldn't necessarily call them gating factors. You know, obviously there's always some level of implementation planning that could occur, you know, we wouldn't be able to get too far with that planning unless we have some more clarity around those items. And then, Phil, to answer your question in the chat room, in terms of implementation costing, obviously that you know, we don't have that right now because we don't know what the next round is going to look like. Obviously, if it's the first come, first serve versus round, that's going to fundamentally change, you know, how the execution of the program will be structured. And so it's too early right now to say that, you know, we can start costing the implementation of the next round. So that's it. Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much. Jeff, please go ahead.
Yes, Chang, thank you for that. And I just want to respond to a number of things on the chat. So, again, I really want to stress there were no decisions made at this meeting. It only provided an avenue for those contracted parties to express how they feel on these issues. Again, it's no different than the GAC having a meeting with the board on telephone conferences, which I know happens, where the GAC expresses its feelings to the board without anyone else on it. It's no different when the ALAC has meetings with board members and expresses how they feel on certain subjects. Everything will come back to the policy process. You have my word as one of the co-chairs that nothing will happen that impacts our group without bringing it back, okay? This is why I wanted to have this open discussion here. But please, if you do have concerns, let us know. And, you know, we'll try to address them. We're not trying to shape decisions. So whatever I could do to, I don't know, if you guys tell me. I know there's a lot of typing, Jorge, Caboulos, and others. If there's anything I can do to address any of your concerns, please let me know. I don't want people leaving here to assume that there were any decisions made or that there was any further steps taken on these issues. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. I've got Nick Shorey with hand up, but I do want to first get to Michael Fleming. Also made a comment about, for example, the non-contracted house have intersessional meetings where they discuss important policy issues. All that took place was discussion amongst parties with common interest. Jorge said a one-hour call is quite different to a three-day meeting. Decision shaping is quite important. And Annabeth Lang said, even if decisions are not taken, it gives a feeling of parallel ICANN. Nick, please go ahead.
Hello, thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I hope you're well. I had the fortune to actually attend the GDD summit last year, just for a day, whilst I was still a GAC. They didn't kick me out at the front door, which was very, very nice of them, so I do appreciate that. I won't get into the debate as to, you know, who should be allowed in and who shouldn't be allowed into those meetings. But I'd just like to say that from the standpoint of a government individual who was at that meeting just for a day, I found it incredibly useful to get a much better insight into the practical and operational challenges and priorities and concerns for contracted parties. And I personally felt it sort of increased my awareness, understanding of all of those issues, which hopefully would sort of help improve my ability to consider all points of view when looking at policy issues. So I definitely found it a really, really useful exercise. I won't comment on who should be allowed in the meeting, but all the reports that any reports that could feed out of that as much as possible, I know would be really helpful for the rest of the community, in particular the GAC, you know, who have you know, particular focus and areas of expertise. But those operational issues and concerns that do get discussed would be really, really helpful for the rest of the community. So encourage as much sharing as possible. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And I do believe that all of those meetings, as someone was saying earlier, were recorded while it's not yet posted. I do believe it will be, though I would need somebody from the staff to confirm that, but I do believe that's the case. I think it's been the case in the past. So, yes, please, Jeff.
Thanks. And thanks, Nick. You brought up a point I should have raised, that the summit was about, I think, 2.5 days, and of those 2.5 days, there maybe was an hour, most 2 hours, on new TLD-type subjects. The remainder of the many hours were spent on operational issues. For example, should there be standardization between registries and registrars and the EPP protocol on how premium pricing is conveyed. We talked about implementation of something called RDAP. We talked about a whole bunch of operational issues that had nothing to do with new TLDs or anything like that. Really, the bulk of it was on issues between contracted parties on an operational basis. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. This is Avi again. I want to read some of the comments that we've received in the chat. Kavus Oreste, everyone should be given the opportunity to express his or her views freely, openly, and timely without being faced with group objection. Oops, my cursor moved on. Sorry. I'm very sorry. All of a sudden, I got a whole influx of other ones, and I lost what I was reading. Okay, yes. So everyone should be given the opportunity to express their views freely, openly, and timely without being faced with group objection or preventing him or her by any means whatsoever to stop commenting. I don't believe that occurs. If it does, it's only oversight and never intentional. And as soon as it's noticed, people do move to it. But we really are making a quite concerted effort to reach as many people. We have Paul saying we need to move on. And I will as soon as I finish the comments. And then Susan's repeating the point that was made by Jeff, that most of the three-day meeting was talking about topics entirely unrelated to this. I think the conversations with Akram could be seen as not dissimilar to the session at last year's ITU, where Akram made comments about the timing of future new GTLDs, and which were widely reported and was questioned by attendees at that meeting. Martin Sutton, GDD was operationally focused. At times it would touch on policy inevitably. And Martin Sutton, also good to hear Nick's feedback. I'm sure others could attend if they really, really wanted to. Okay, so I see no other hands on this. Call this subject for the moment. Once there is a posting of the of where to find the sessions for people to listen, that will be available. And, of course, there were the notes that were sent out by Emily, which are quite helpful. So at this point, I will follow the advice in the chat and move on. So the next thing is the drafting team update. First, I want to mention that we have not been doing well on the drafting teams. Except for the work that was done by staff, and especially Steve Chan, in terms of giving us an initial document in each of the three, there has been very little work either within the documents. We haven't held any meetings yet. That may be partially my fault and Jeff's fault for not actually calling meetings, though we were hoping to see some discussions on lists and in documents before moving to another set of meetings for people. But basically, so we've decided that since we really do need to resolve those questions, that we would bring the discussion back to the full meeting to get the discussion going. So I've asked Steve to basically walk us through the initial document that he's got there, sort of explain its structure and point of view, and then perhaps, and I've already seen some discussions on the list based on just having gotten a pointer to the document, so hopefully we can also get a little bit of discussion going on this topic. So, Steve, if you're ready, I'd like to hand the floor over to you.
Sure. Thanks, Aubrey. This is Steve Chan from staff. As Aubrey mentioned, this is one of the three drafting teams that are currently underway, and she also mentioned struggling a little bit to make some work, make some progress. And so the others are on the framework for predictability, and as well as the rounds or the mechanism for accepting applications. But for now, we'll talk about the different TLD types. This first page of the document should look familiar. It's the types that this working group had identified as potential types. This is probably about 6 months ago, as I think Kurt had mentioned in his email. This discussion had at least taken place to some degree at that point. And these are the categories that had come out those discussions and exchanges. So from that step, what we try to do is to, on the second page of this document, is to try to identify the characteristics or attributes of each of these categories that the working group identified. So part of the reason for doing so is to try to determine the commonalities between the different types. And so what that helps possibly do is to determine, you know, whether or not these all these categories that were identified by the group, whether or not they should be distinctive types, or really whether or not they have a close intersection with another one. So that was the intention of pages 2 and 3, which are really one sheet from the worksheet, the Google document. And so if you proceed to page 4 of this document, what we try to do is all the attributes and characteristics that were identified in that previous step, they make up the horizontal axis on this particular page. So some of the things you have are whether or not there are specific application submission requirements, whether or not there's restrictions for registration within that registry, whether or not the registrant pool would be limited, et cetera. And so all those attributes and characteristics that were identified are carried out across the top axis. And then as Kurt had called them, there's tick marks here for each of these characteristics or attributes that apply to each of these types. So this document isn't intended to, well, I guess a few things. One is staff may have not gotten this perfectly right in making these assessments. Two is this document was not developed to present conclusions. It's just one piece of analysis to help drive the discussion. So the working group would go in any number of ways from here. As was seen on the email discussions right now, there's divergence of positions. Some may want to look at this and determine that there is a need to develop separate categories. Others may determine that there should be a standard base from which there are exceptions or exemptions, similar to Spec 13. Or there could be something completely separate that's extremely clever that this working group wants to develop. So that's what was developed. Actually, I'll just move to page 5 real quickly of this document. And so this is currently blank, but what would eventually go here is to try to determine from those attributes what would be required to be changed in the application processes. So if there's a restricted registrant pool, would that affect the application submission process? Would it affect the evaluation process? Would it affect the contracting process? And then there's a last column here that Jeff had added, which is if you want to change to a different group, what are the or a different attribute, what are the requirements for doing so? So that's where it stands now. This is an introductory statement, and hopefully what this does is help spur people to either join the drafting team or for those that are already part of the drafting team to participate and to help develop a proposal or proposals that can be shared with the working group. This is merely a first step, and hopefully people will want to help contribute to this. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Steve. This is Avery again. I guess I'd like to add one more possible activity for people, and also want to invite anybody with questions or comments to contribute them, is that read through this for people. I mean, this is work that, while it's been sent to a drafting team, is really work that's on the full team's plate. And so I would really request that people read through this document and make comments, whether it's in the document or on a list, about the categories, about the ones listed, about the things it's being measured about any of the cells in the table that have been filled. Do they accurately reflect, or is there aspect of them that needs to be added? I mean, I did a read-through, and I didn't find that much that I wanted to add in my first read-through, and I think that's good. Others should basically do the same. And, you know, perhaps in doing the read-through, you'll be motivated to say something that'll help move the drafting team on. In terms of the people that are on the drafting team, please use the lists to start discussing this. Otherwise, this really does end up back on the full meetings, the full working group's plate, because it's really never left that plate. And the drafting team is really just supposed to sort of help us get the work done. But if we have to do it in the full meeting in order to get it done, then we will eventually need to do that. This seems very important to me in that we really do need to close off the CC1 and get to our preliminary notion of recommendations on some of these major issues. As we heard in the previous discussion, some of these things, while perhaps not called gating, are indeed key decisions that we need to make in order for the implementation work to go forward, because they really do frame the whole program. And certainly, you know, by the time we get our draft recommendations out, you know, these things need to be sort of set in our at least initial draft recommendations. So I see no hands up, so I guess there are no comments. Okay, let me look at this, the thing I got. Okay, please go ahead, Jeff.
Things from the chat. I guess. All right, can you guys hear me?
I can hear you now. I couldn't when I first spoke, and there obviously is a lag.
Okay, sure. So, Donna asked the question of, has the subject of categories come up before? Steve is put a response in, Donna asked if it's come up within the work tracks, and Steve answered, sorry, I'm going to drop down to that. Steve said that come up as a related issue and that categories may impact other topics, but as a substantive topic, I don't believe so. Yeah, I would just to add that, you know, we haven't definitively decided that we would keep the community as a separate category, but, you know, we obviously discussed that in work track 3 for objections and for CPE, and so it indirectly affects those, just as Steve said, but this is a real group that needs to decide, I guess, once and for all, whether we're going to recommend having different categories. Jorge says, Aubrey, can you send out an email of this table, on this table of CLD types, and establish a deadline for feedback? Hello, Aubrey, if you want to address that.
Sure. Well, it obviously doesn't need to be me sending up. Certainly, we can send out all of the – there are three forms, one for each of the topics. And, yeah, there really is a lag. I don't know if other people are hearing. I'm on the phone connection as opposed to the online connection, so perhaps that's causing the lag. But as far as setting a deadline, certainly can. You know, I basically would say that within the next 2 weeks, everyone should take a look at these and come up with any comments on the list. At our next full meeting, we'll put the next of the drafting groups on the agenda. I believe that's the flexible versus predictable, or flexible and predictable set of issues on the agenda for this meeting. So hopefully people will also have taken a look at that one before we get to that meeting. But certainly could do a two-week, now that this one has been presented to the whole group, do a two-week, please get it read and commented on in the next 2 weeks if no one objects to such a deadline for this first one. I see no one objecting. Let me see if there are any comments. Oh, yeah, one of the comments was were the other work tracks discussing these issues. And I think while they do come up in some of them, as was mentioned, by and large, they are waiting also on these decisions to be made, and or at least initially made, to have the provisional decision-making so that they know what space they're working in, because making the decision about what categories there are is indeed not one of the tasks of the subgroups, although in some cases, like community, it's definitely tied up on it. So there really is a dependency there on the overarching issues having sort of been put to rest in order for the work tracks to be able to do their work. Anybody have any comments at this point? Any other questions? I say, Krista saying categories could impact the development of application fee setting. Steve then mentioned we shared the link to the Google Doc and the agenda, but we'll send it around as a PDF as well. Yeah, and I think it's probably worth sharing all three of them up front for the three drafting teams so that everybody is reminded of all of them. Thanks. Donna says, Krista has the potential to impact fees, applications, evaluations, type of contract, and more. And that is indeed the point of them being overarching issues. Thank you for reminding us of how they do affect, Donna. And we had a couple indeeds and yes. And Kavu says, what would be the status of a provisional decision? And thank you for the question, Caboose. And basically, the way I understand these groups as working is we take provisional decisions in the group where we're perhaps not at consensus yet, but we're close to consensus. We start working those through. We start looking at how they impact all the other stuff. We come back and review the decisions in light of further discussions and further and further, you know, knowledge, et cetera. Maybe provisional decisions get changed. Maybe they don't. As we work our way towards our initial draft, we basically have to come to group consensus on those provisional decisions as they go into our draft recommendations. But at that point, they really become draft decisions because then we go to comment, we come back from comment, we review our draft decisions to see whether they are indeed the recommendations we are going to make, go through the whole process of seeing how everything ties together, where one change ripples through, et cetera. And then at the end of the day, come with our final recommendations. So until the time that we actually get to our initial draft, everything remains provisional, but we start working on it and building on it and seeing whether the as a foundation it supports the work we're doing or whether the rest of the work starts to point out issues that we hadn't quite considered when coming to a provisional first place. I hope that explains how I view it. And it meets with the views that other people have about how we cyclically get through starting to make decisions, checking them for sanity and consistency, hardening the recommendations as drafts, and then eventually finalizing. Any comments on that? Okay, I got more questions. Paul, I'd like to think of provisional decisions as breadcrumbs to keep track of where we came from when we get there. Yes, Paul, but hopefully they're also sort of a foundation we can build the rest of the work on, because as we see in the various sub-teams, without having a provisional decision on, you know, rounds versus first come versus hybrid, without having a decision on are there categories and what are they and what are the elements of categories that need to be worked on, the working teams in some cases are just sort of spinning their wheels because they don't have firm footing. So hopefully the provisional decision also starts to give a bit of footing. It can change, but it gives us a solid context to work in. Kavu said, how and when these provisional decisions are converted to more definitive, as well as other impact on any provisional decision on other provisional decisions. And I think if I understand what you wrote, Kavu, that corresponds to the cyclical nature of the process I was talking about at this point. And Kavus, again, if the provisional decision-making prevent to reach consensus, I have difficulty to accept. Personally, Kavus, and from experience, I see provisional decisions as the first step in reaching consensus and certainly shouldn't be a barrier to reaching consensus, but are indeed the process one uses to find the consensus point. So hopefully that is the way it works. Okay. Anyone else want to comment on that before I move on? I do see that Kavus is typing. I see Phil is typing. Okay, Kavus, if it is part of consensus building, I have no problem. Thank you, Kavus. Yes, indeed, consensus building is a good term for it. And thank you. Okay. I'll stop for a second to see if there's any hands or comments or let the typing finish. Okay. Thank you, Annabeth, for letting us know. Thank you for being here this far. Move on now to community comment two. And Christina's also dropping at the top of the hour. Thank you. Community comment two update. Steve, can I call on you for that one?
You sure can. Thanks, Arvi. This is Steve Chan, and this will be a really short agenda item. It's merely a reminder to all the working group members that the comment period for community comment two will be the 22nd of May. So it's just a reminder to you all, and then by extension to all the people that you also work with, the groups you work with, to remind them of that deadline and to try to make sure that they get their comment in beforehand. And as Avery has mentioned in the past, you don't need to wait to that deadline. You can do it earlier. It's helpful to the working group. It's helpful to staff so we can start getting those comments organized for the working group to consider. So by all means, the earlier the better, but be mindful of that deadline of the 22nd. At this point, there's just a handful of comments. So I think we're probably going to see a bit of a rush at the end. But to the extent we can avoid that, that would be great. So that was it. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Steve, any comments or questions on any of that? I see we have several people that are leaving at the top of the hour. Thank you for letting us know. Thank you, Cavuz. Would mention, and we probably need to make sure everybody knows, that these full meetings are planned for 90 minutes, so we won't be going that much over an hour today. And thank you, Jorge, for indicating the GAC is working on input. I hope all of our groups are indeed working on them. And I see no other comments. So then moving on to ICANN 59 planning. Steve, is that me asking you again?
Perhaps it is. Sure, this is Steve Chan from staff, and I'll open up the discussions and maybe it'll inspire other discussion. I would just note the sessions that are scheduled for this group. One is a couple of geographic name sessions planned. It's broken into two portions. There is a 90-minute portion on Tuesday of the meeting, and that would be followed by a Thursday session for 180 minutes. I don't know if you want to go into more detail on that. I think Jeff probably will. But I would also note that we have a face-to-face for the broader working group that's scheduled for Wednesday at this point. So the geographic names cross-community session is not at the expense of the face-to-face session. We'll have both. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Jeff. Jeff, you're still muted as far as I can. Yeah.
Everyone's invited to that, and the sessions, I should say, plural. And everyone's welcome to participate. This is a continuation of the webinar that we had in late April, to hopefully develop some proposals and to walk through those. And we are looking at trying to have a professional facilitator, moderator come in and help us with that since there are diverging views, and potentially with the help of a facilitator, we could find a common path forward. So we're, Avery and I and the ICANN staff are in the process of trying to find someone who was neutral or is neutral and also could get or has an understanding of the issues and sensitivities involved. So we'll be updating you throughout the next few weeks on the progress we're making on that. And with respect to the face-to-face session, hopefully by then we will have had not only all the CC2 comments in, but a staff report that summarizes the comments or compiles the comments that we can discuss those during the face-to-face. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to comment or ask a question? And I have one question. The PDP face-to-face is at what time? Steve, I don't have the block. Steve says he believes it's Wednesday from 8:30 to 12 local time, bright and early. Okay. Any other comments or questions? Nope. Okay, then we'll continue to have this as an agenda item in the lead up to the face-to-face meeting in Johannesburg. So we will talk about this all again and again. Okay, that brings us, with no other comments, to any other business. Does anybody have any other business at this time? I see no one. I see a little bit of typing. Don't know whether it's the goodbyes or an any other business, but so Jorge has indicated that they'll probably have GAC meetings at that time, which is unfortunate. It is unfortunate the way these things end up overlapping, even in the policy meetings, where we're supposed to be less siloed and more working together, but we all do seem to still spend a fair amount of time meeting within our own groupings. So with that, we're only a little over an hour, so we did have 90 minutes scheduled for the call. But if there is no other business, I see no reason to prolong it. And I thank everybody. And the meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much. Bye.